And we're back. That was a long break. It was about 7 days. I'm glad you have the microphone angled just perfectly, because I want you to look right at me. Because this is the show right here. Today's guest, well, today's topic, a little history of downzoning. What does that mean? Well, we all talk about the traffic on the 101. We talk about our neighbors and density and bonus density and inclusionary housing and where's it all going? How are we going to fit these people in? And we're going to get a little history lesson from what happened back in the 1970s. I bet a lot of people listening weren't here. And to give us a little history lesson is someone who has a lot of history. She's a former planning commissioner. She's a former city council member. She's a former Santa Barbara County supervisor. Do you have trouble holding on to a job? Just have any? Today she's actually working with the local Association of Realtors. What's that title?
Government Affairs Director.
Government Affairs Director. The former Jean, what was your maiden name?
O'Connor.
Jean, the former Jean O'Connor, currently Jean Graffey. Good morning. Welcome back to Radio Real Estate.
Well, thank you, Mark. It's been a while.
For those of you who know Jean's voice, this is her voice on Hay Fever.
Right.
Got to sound a little sexy. I like it. And not as sexy as your daughter, Erin, who comes on the program periodically.
And she doesn't even have hay fever.
So no. She doesn't need hay fever to sound sexy. Welcome back. You were my second guest back in 1998 when we started the program.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm very honored that you're still alive.
Thank you, I guess.
So, back in the 1970s, you were a planning commissioner. Explain to us what happened and why it happened, and what do you think the ramifications have been downzoning Santa Barbara? What does that mean? What happened?
It was a very exciting time to be on that. Before then, they did have a general plan, and the general plan said that they wanted the city to be mainly residential, and at that time, the single-family residential, at that time it was about 60% homeowner and about 40% rental or even less. They did have a zoning map, and when we started to look at it in 1970, we realized that it had been zoned for about 170 people, 150,000 people, and that was far more than we could possibly handle with the resources.
The general plan for the city.
That's right.
Had it mapped out to accommodate 150,000 people.
Right.
In 1970, and the current population back then was somewhere around 80 still, or
no, it was 70? In the 70s.
Okay.
But all of a sudden, Santa Barbara was discovered, I guess you might say, had been kind of a sleepy Spanish town, so to speak, before that. But all of a sudden, it became discovered, and we had building going on like crazy, and developers coming in and from locally and from Los Angeles and every place, and subdivisions being built. So we decided we better look at that map again. Now, at this time, the state hadn't really come in with the general plan where you had to have all the different elements, noise and housing and this and that and the other thing.
All those requirements that the city of Goleta is now going through to
right,
try to meet. Okay.
Right. This was kind of predated that. And so there was a zoning map, but not a whole lot of other restrictions going on in it. There were setbacks and things like that. So you can't really constitutionally say people can't come. I mean, they say, well, you said you zoned it for 85,000. How could you stop people from coming in? Well, other than putting up gates and locks, we couldn't.
Well, that's my idea.
But constitutionally, you would be out. However, we could prove that we didn't have the resources to support the population that was indicated in our general plan of that time. And we didn't have sufficient water. We didn't have sufficient sewer capacity. It was already a pretty mature city at that time. And the streets were narrow. They really weren't built to a wide avenue capacity in most cases. So that's when we started the downzoning. And it was.
So it's two phases then. We'll get into the specifics of the city and what this means to people who own property and downzoning. But you started on the macro view with taking that 150,000 number and dropping it down to
85,000.
85,000. Right. So that was it, and you justified it through the means you said, and the state gave you a stamp of approval.
Right. Right. It was approved because we were able to show that we did not have the resources.
Did you feel like you were kind of like Pearl Chase of the 1970s there, Jean?
I never felt like Pearl Chase. Thank you.
She must have been spinning in her grave with all those little apartments they were building on the east side that didn't quite mirror the Spanish architecture that we now see.
Well, the Spanish architecture was restricted to what we call a Pueblo Viejo, which is kind of the downtown area. And there you had to have red tile roofs and a certain type of Spanish architecture or Monterey architecture that the ABR Architectural Board of Review agreed to. So that part hadn't changed.
Hmm.
But there were apartment buildings that had, say, 25 units to the acre, some as high as 35 units to the acre. And some of them are very nice looking, like on the west side near the creek. There's one that's at least 35 units, and it's a nice-looking building. But because that kind of building was going to increase the population beyond our capacity, the downzoning changed those multifamily units down to residential areas down to 12 units per acre, from 25 to 35 to 12 units per acre.
Was there a backlash? Were there people?
Oh, you better believe it. You better believe it. I was a chairman of the Planning Commission at that time, and we held hearings all over the city. We went to different areas and held these hearings. We really did an outreach. And we had a document that followed up with that was called the Impacts of Growth, and it showed what about our capacity and what would happen if we went ahead as we had been doing. But every time you have an action like that, there is a reaction and a consequence. And the consequence was that developers stopped building apartment houses because they couldn't possibly, with the price of the land, make a profit building apartments.
Back in the 70s.
Back in the 70s.
And you think, look at it today.
They're kind of turning
around.
If
you couldn't do it back then, I mean, rental prices have gone up.
That's right.
But not proportionate to the price of land and the price of building. So if you couldn't do it back then, it's amazing. And so now with all the today's, I don't want to jump too far ahead because we're going to go into the ramifications and what we're dealing with today of creating inclusionary housing and zoning and giving developers bonus density to go beyond the allowed density if they build the affordable units. And they're kind of skirting what happened in the 70s, the zoning laws, by not changing the zoning laws. A lot of people are up in arms about that.
Well, there are consequences when you take an action. We thought we were doing the right thing, although there were certainly protests from property owners, and you can't blame them. They thought they had a piece of property that they'd be able to do X on, and turns out they...
Exxon, or is that the name of a mobile oil company?
We're going to put... Whoops, that would be wrong.
We're going to put an oil company down on stage. Now, it reminds me, and this was more Aaron and Neil Graffy. Gene Graffy is today's guest. Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, 564-1290, 564-1290. She has two children. She has five children, two in town, who take history as a passion. And I think we talked with them about the development that almost went out over in the park, Harding or help me out.
Oh, well, I'm maybe not thinking the same one you are. I'm thinking of the one that was going to go in around Mitchell Torina and Santa Barbara and Anacapa Street.
It was going to be a nine-story, some huge...
It was going to be a luxury apartment or condominium, I don't know what at the time, and it was going to be a tower that probably was higher than anything in the city. At that time, we didn't have a height restriction.
Was that in the? Was that just around the same time that this was going on?
No, and that was prior to the 70s.
That was in the 60s. Yeah,
right. And the public became very aroused, and they quickly passed an ordinance that said no building could go above a certain height in a residential zone and another height in a commercial zone. So that was already in place. So we couldn't go up, so to speak. and we couldn't go out because we were surrounded by mountains and the ocean and the unincorporated area. So
which had their own levels of restrictions in terms of water meters and, you know, the drought and all that.
And that was certainly an impact, too, because the 25 to 30-year moratorium in the Goleta area because of water shortage meant that any growth almost had to come into the city of Santa Barbara. So because that was unincorporated at that time, Goleta was.
Right, right.
So that had an impact on us, too, and since there wasn't land, it increased the price.
I think we have a caller, if they could stand by. We're going to take a break. Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, 564-1290, 564-1290. The former Gene Connor, currently Gene Graffy.
O'Connor.
O'Connor.
Descendant from the Kings of Ireland.
The current Gene Graffy. You've been married how long? 50 years?
It's getting there.
Really? Coming up? Uh-huh. 564-1290, we'll come back and talk a little bit more about the ramifications of the downzoning and how, I don't understand, a registered Republican here is out there, went against the grain of big greedy developers and helped downzone Santa Barbara to maintain it and keep it what it is. I just don't understand it, Gene.
When do I get to answer that?
Oh, yeah, when we come back from our break. Stay tuned, you'll be right back.